Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
God is good, amen? How did you guys like the message last week on trust? Awesome. Well, I liked it so much that I'm going to preach on it again. Just going to keep talking about it. And I had some more things that I felt the Lord lay on my heart and some things that really came out of our youth camp that happened about a week ago that was all centered around this same theme and topic. And the theme of our camp was the time is now, which is a beautiful thing to even think about in your life. Ephesians 5 says, make the most of every opportunity. And in kingdom life, God has structured our life to live now, not tomorrow, not later. The only thing that you have a guarantee of is you go to heaven if you trust in Jesus. Everything else, there's no guarantee. None of us even have a guarantee that we're going to make it through this church service. That's kind of a scary thing to think about, but that's the reality, is that any one of us or somebody in here could have a heart attack today, and we'd all be really sad. But it could happen, and I'm not trying to be morbid, but the reality is everything in our life can be stripped away from us except that intimate and loving relationship that is bought for us by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. I want you to think about this, is that when God gets his way, throughout all world history, when God has gotten his way, what does he get? When God gets his way, when it's working the way he wants it to be and the way he wants it to work, what does he get? I want you to think about this for a minute. What is the one thing that God gets when he gets his way? In the Garden of Eden, he got intimacy. In the Garden of Eden, when God got his way, he created Adam and Eve. He got to walk with his creation. He got relationship without separation with his people. That's what God desires when he gets his way, is you, is your heart, your life. That's what he wants. When God gets his way, he gets intimacy. He got intimacy with Abraham. He got intimacy with Moses when he set up the tent of meeting. And he'd go in and God said he would speak to him as face to face like a friend. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 15, he says this. He says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other. And in the same way I have loved you, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends. If you do what I command, you are no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. You are now my friends. Since I have told you everything the Father has told me, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my commandment. Love each other. And he also said, look, love me. He says, I am the vine. Just a little earlier. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, they will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. You and I were designed to have this trusting and intimate relationship with the Lord. Amen? Come on. And it's supposed to be, I'll just put up my title slide here. I want you to see this shot here. Now look at this guy. That's an awesome picture, right? Okay. Just found it on the internet. I'm sure it really happened. Totally. That was me and my brother this weekend climbing. Dude, I got you, bro. No worries. These guys are crazy. That's a crazy kind of trust right there. That's a crazy kind of, yes. But that's real trust. That's real trust. Proverbs 3:5 says this, trust in the Lord. What? With all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. That's what we're talking about last week. It's taking yourself and placing yourself in the Lord and letting Him have control. You will have genuine fear if you have genuine trust. It must be there, or you don't really care about whatever it is you could potentially lose. If you trust in someone or entrust them with something that matters to you, you should be a little freaked out. And so your response to fear is trust. Your response to loss is trust. And in that fear and in that loss, God perfects it in His love, right? His love is made perfect in you giving up the thing you desire and care about and trusting in Him. But also it says, with all your heart. Your heart. Your real heart. Right? It's in there. It's there. It's alive. It's who you are. And the Bible uses the correlation between your heart with the person of who you are, your spirit, your soul, who God made you. Ephesians 5, His masterpiece. Or Ephesians 2, His masterpiece, right? That beautiful thing, the way He made you on the inside, regardless of what your body looks like on the outside, there is someone special on the inside that God designed to have an intimate, masterful relationship with Him. And as you learn to trust in and let go of your life, you will have a new life birthed in intimate relationship with your loving Father. Trust in the Lord with all of your person, all of your heart. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. It transforms everything. God, it leads us to this intimate relationship with You that we so desperately need, God. And we pray today You will lead us to intimacy. Lead us to good water. God, lead us to the vine. Help us to know You and how to be intimately connected with You always. Grow us today. Grow us in our intimacy with You. Grow our trust in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your path. So I want you to look at this and leave this slide up here. Trust with all your heart. And I'm gonna read this kind of scary scripture that sometimes we can get a little freaked out about, and we should actually be a little freaked out about this. Dear friends, Jesus says this, Luke chapter 12, verse 4. Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. Don't be afraid of those who want to destroy your body. Don't be afraid of sickness that wants to destroy your body. Don't be afraid of people that want to destroy your body. Okay? That's not what we need to be afraid of. They can't do anything to you after that. Once cancer kills you, you go to heaven. Once a person murders you, you go to heaven. Once you die for the name of Jesus, you go to heaven. If you get rejected so many times and you're so lonely for pursuing Jesus and loving Jesus that you die of a broken heart, Paul says, in Philippians, he says, man, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He had it figured out. He understood that he was seated truly with God and Jesus in heavenly places always. You and I have to get our perspective on what is really happening and where we're really living. It's not now, it's in heaven. If you want to get a really good series, it's called The Grand Entrance that we preached here just a few months ago. You can learn all about how God wants you to live a life for eternity now. For eternity now. Our relationship with Christ, intimacy with Him, life making sense now, loss and sickness and death and all the horrible things that happen now only make sense if you and I learn to live for that intimate relationship that will last forever in eternity. Are you with me, church? I know this is a little bit deep sauce, but I want you to stay here with me, okay? In the deep soupiness of the goodness of your relationship with Jesus, right? He says this, dear friends, don't be afraid of all the things that could rob everything from your life because it's possible. Can I just summarize it like that? It is possible for everything to be stripped away from you. But I tell you whom to fear. Fear God, who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, He is the one to fear. Church, once we have Jesus, we no longer have to fear God. We get to trust Him. God did not design us for hell. God did not design us for separation with Him. He designed us for intimacy. When God gets what He wants, He gets your heart. God did everything that was possible and needed and necessary for you and I to be in an intimate relationship with Him the way He designed through the blood of Jesus. But you and I need to be real. And if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is real. This is what it's like to live for Jesus right here. If you let go, you plummet to your death. That is eternal separation from God. And the Bible calls that hell. That's for real. Life in eternity with God is for real. Life in eternity separated from God is real. And the only way into the Father, the only way into heaven, into eternity with the loving arms of the Father is through the Son, Jesus Christ, and trusting on Him. He said, the only thing you need to do, Jesus said this, is believe on Me. That's it. You need to believe in that relationship with Jesus like this. One toehold in your life. One security line in your life. And that's Jesus just hanging on. Right? Man, if you have not done that, today's your day. I'm encouraging you to make an intimate relationship. Build an intimate relationship with Jesus today. Believe on Him. Accept Him for the forgiveness of your sins so you can have this kind of relationship with Him. And I'm telling you, when you get that relationship, your life ought to explode. It ought to explode with joy, no matter what the circumstances. It ought to explode with intimacy and belonging because your heart, Galatians 5 says, is crying out, or for us, saying, crying out to Jesus, saying, Abba, Father, I want to know You. And you know what? That's in you, and I know it's in you because it was in me. Respond to that thing that's going on in you and choose Jesus. Church, the Bible says in Romans 8 that once you choose Jesus, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Even though it looks like it's by your strength you're holding on to that toehold, I just want you to see this. But this is the way we ought to see our life, is that connection is divine. That is Jesus. That's the only thing we should be hanging on to, and there's no other security lines. But nothing can separate that bond. You can't let go of it anymore. You can try to grab onto other things, but you can't change that relationship once you build it. And that is permanent, lasting relationship. So I don't want you to feel like you're not secure. You need to read Romans 8. It says nothing can separate you from His love. And you need to read that because it's true. So this relationship, when you hang on to it, you give your life and your heart wholly to Jesus, nothing can take it from you. But we need to learn to trust this way, don't we? Trusting like this leads us to the thing that God desires most, is intimacy. Intimacy is built when we trust, and trust is cultivated when we learn to know one another, right? Moses, great example, in Exodus 33, he says this, it was Moses' practice, 33 verse 7, to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand to the entrance of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. He went into the tent, the pillar. As he went into the tent, the pillar of the cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow in front of their own tents inside the tent of meeting. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. This is before Jesus came. This is the old covenant. This is in the time of the law. But even in the time of the law, that's not what God wanted. We taught a great series in Galatians that said the thing that God wanted was not the law. He brought the law as a tutor, as a guide, to help us see that we were sinners and that we were broken and could not do it on our own. What He wanted was what He promised, is that we would spend eternity with Him. The promise is that we would be children of God. Intimate relationship with God. And this promise, even in the midst of the law, He kept showing us glimpses that His promise was what He really desired, which is what He made us for in the garden, which He showed us here in the time of Moses. And He showed us when Jesus said, look, you're My friend. You're not My slave. You're not My servant. When you choose Me, you got all the goods. I empower you with the Holy Spirit to know everything My Father knows, to live with the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, to do all of what I destined you to do, those good fruits that bring glory to My name. I made you for that. That's the intimate relationship I promised, I desired. And when God gets what He wants, He gets a face-to-face relationship with his friends. Do you know that you can have a face-to-face, intimate relationship with your friend who is God? Who is God? Who is God? Man. He calls you and I his friend? You know, I have many children now, not as many as some, but I have many. And I remember when my kids were really little, especially my older one. My oldest is 17 now, and I have 17, 15, 11. Those are kind of my oldest, and I got a bunch of little goobers running around too. But I remember when my kids were really little, I could not really grasp being a friend with my child. And I'm really sure that my oldest son and daughter could not have grasped being a friend with me at that age. But as they've gotten older, 13, 14, 15, man, our friendship is really built. And it's been awesome. We're playing a board game the other day, having a blast. Just friends. No father, daughter, mother stuff. We're just being friends. And it was way cool. Way cool. And I just got a little glimpse of what the Father God wants with me. I don't want my kids to be my slaves, even though that's fun. Oh, man. When you control the food distribution in a center, you have great power.
Mow lawn if you want to eat.
Right? But that's not what I want from my son. Man, I want his heart. I want to know him. What we do this thing around our table. We try to have dinner together every single night. And when we do this thing called best and worst. And you might want to try it in your home. It's kind of fun. What's the best part of your day and the worst part of your day? I don't just want everybody patty cake and say, everything's really great. But that, try to just cultivate this opportunity to find out what's going on in your life. That's all I really want to know. As a daddy, what's going on in your heart? Whether you're passing or failing your classes, or you're succeeding in your job or not, or life's falling apart, or you're having success, you know, you're struggling in a relationship, or you got your heart broke, or you found the love of your life. I just want to know. I just want to know. Listen, Daddy, Abba Father, just wants to know you face to face. He says, come into my tent, right? And just let my presence be all around you and just fellowship with me. Just fellowship with me. You were made for intimacy with God. You were designed for intimacy with God. He made you with that purpose and that intent. Sometimes when we think about this Ephesians 2, 10 passage that says that you're his masterpiece created in Christ Jesus, that we think about, it's like about how we look or what we can do. But no, it's about who we are and who we know and how we're known. You know, in Corinthians, it says that now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I will be fully known. Fully known. Ah, oh, beautiful that God wants to fully know his people. You're 5 today. You're 90 today. I don't care. It's not too late. The time is now for you to cultivate this intimate and lasting relationship with God. He doesn't just want you to get alone and just pray and ask him and beat on his door for everything under the sun. He says, just stay a little longer. I want to be with you. You're made for intimacy. I love how Moses, he made this his regular practice, right? He made this his regular practice, setting up the tent of meeting so he could meet with God and the people could meet with God. He knew it was the most important thing they could be doing is seeking God. But listen, you and I are more likely to trust people that we have a real relationship with, a real friendship with, right? The more we know somebody, the more we're going to trust them. The more we trust somebody, the more that we're going in trust to them. The more we get to know God as our friend, the easier it is to trust him with our whole lives, like hanging on. Look at that thing. Look at how high up he is. Well, maybe the ground is right there at the bottom and they took that picture and that'd be really awesome. But in my mind, I'm imagining he's like 1,000 feet up. That'd be so awesome if they were just right on the ground for real, like this far off and took that picture. I'd be so disappointed. But I'm imagining her 1,000 feet up, and that's how we're living life with Jesus, right? You're made to build a relationship with God and to build a relationship with others. And the more you build a relationship, you could do something like this. Like these two guys did this for real, okay, whether they're a foot up or 1,000 feet up. That's crazy. And the only way somebody did that is if they built a lot of relationship together. Do you know a blind man summited Mount Everest? Blind! You know when you're blind, you can't see? Profound. People with full capacity eyesight, more people have died trying to summit that mountain, I've heard, than any other mountain. And people die every single year trying to get up to the top. And they have all of their full functioning, no handicaps at all. This guy, with a team of people and the trust they built from their friendships and the intimacy in their friendship, they had to trust one another. Every step, someone had to instruct him on where to grab, where to put his feet, how to climb, and what to do the entire way to the top. That's miraculous. That's the kind of trusting relationship that God wants us to build with him in intimacy. And he says, love one another. He wants us to build this kind of relationship with each other as well. He says, trust in me with all your heart, with all of who you are. Come to me. Cast all of your burdens on me. Take up my burden, which is light and easy. Isn't that awesome? Like God is the ultimate redeemer. You and I are designed to give up everything and let him perfect our loss. When we give it all up, then he somehow perfects it because he is the redeemer. Because no matter what you lose, when you're trusting God, you can trust him as the redeemer. He makes up the difference. He takes the water and turns it into wine. He's the God who can take death and turn it into life. The God who can take sickness and turn it into health. Brokenness and turn it into hope, ashes into beauty and mourning into joy, despair turned into praise, and the lost and orphan can be turned into children who belong, sadness turned into gladness, and our loss is turned into gain, our hurt and bitterness turned into love and forgiveness, rejection into acceptance, fear into trust, and the humble and meek can be turned into heroes. No matter what you lose when you're trusting God, the Father, he is the Redeemer, and he turns everything that was meant for evil intent to work out for the good of those who are in Christ Jesus. And that, like Hebrews 11 says, does not mean you're going to see it all here on earth. We're talking about it will always work out for you in heaven, not here. Your relationship with God, when you're trusting and hanging on, that kind of relationship will always work out in heaven. No matter what, you'll get a reward for everything. Jesus said, even if you, to his disciples, if you give a cold cup of water in my name, your reward will not be forgotten in heaven. Listen, you and I have this reward-driven intimacy relationship with God that every single day we have an opportunity to cultivate, to build, and to build with one another. It's awesome. God will perfect the things you're willing to give him. If you're willing to give up everything and hang from that cliff and just say, Jesus, just you, whatever else, awesome. But this is what I'm putting my security lines in. I'm not going to have it in my finances and my relationships and my jobs and my homes and the things I own, right? Man, I'm going to just have it in you. And I just give everything else up. And in you, I trust you as the Redeemer. The closer you get, the more you trust. The more intimacy you build, the more you'll trust. One of the awesome things about Joshua is he never forgot that he needed God. And many of the great people of faith, I just aim to say that they never forgot they needed God. And they especially knew they needed God, like David did when he really blew it. And he sinned with Bathsheba. He knew he needed God, and he didn't run from God and pretend like it didn't happen like Saul did and like many other people did. No, he ran to the healer. He ran to the Redeemer. He said, if I screwed it up, I know I did, but there's one person, one friendship that can make this right, and God, it's you. Daddy, Abba, Father, it's you, and I run to you right now. And he laid before God, and God spared him. In a time where he should not have been spared,
according to the law.
But God is a God of love and mercy and intimacy, and He wants us to remember all the time that we need Him, not because if we forget we need Him, we're going to get punished because Jesus took all the punishment for us, but when we forget that we need God, we get all messed up, and life just gets much more difficult. Because listen, your struggles are always going to be there, and there's no shame in struggle. It's real. But the reality is you're always going to have struggles. There's people that are going to be losing all around you. Life is going to be hard all around you. But in the midst of that, God says you can have a peace that passes all that understanding. You can have a joy that comes from deep within as a kingdom is just bubbling out of you because of your relationship, intimate relationship with God. Listen, when those things happen, you need to have cultivated an intimate relationship with the Father. I promise you, it is the solution to survival. It's the solution to thriving. Because when Paul says, I can thrive when I have everything and when I have nothing, that's the type of life you and I need to live. Because he didn't care about the things he had. He only cared about his relationship in heaven with the living God. You and I have to learn to strip away everything and just learn to love and cultivate that intimacy with him. Joshua in the tent, when we look back at what it says there, he says after Moses would leave, he said that he would remain, Joshua the son of Nun would remain behind in the tent. He was his young assistant. That's so awesome. When you're young, and I was telling the young people this, listen, the time is now for you to cultivate intimacy with God. Not tomorrow. You need it now. You don't need to wait till daddy says you can do it or mommy says you can do it or all of a sudden like, oh, when all the moons align, it's going to work for me. No, you need Jesus now. If you're in sin, you need him now. If you're struggling with something, you need him now. You need to go cultivate this intimate and lasting relationship with him right now. Don't wait. Don't wait. So many times we're experiencing so much shame in our struggles, right? So much shame and condemnation that we keep upon ourselves or listen to the voice of the enemy to burden us down and weigh us down, that we run from the person who freed us from all of that. We run to the God who designed us for absolute intimacy every day. The only one who can comfort us and strengthen us in our time of struggle is Jesus. You and I need to learn how to not run from God when we struggle, but run to him. So many times people say, well, I stopped going to church because I just was struggling. That's a bad idea. You don't only need intimacy with God, but you need intimacy with other people. You need people to know you so well and you to matter to them because you've loved them so much that when you're gone, you matter. You're missing. That only happens not from you waiting for someone to pursue you with intimacy, but for you to pursue others, giving your life away. So that when you give your life away to them, they're like, it matters when you stop doing that. When you begin to struggle, they're like, whoa, where are the brownies this morning? Right? Where's those donuts that guy always shows up with every day? Where'd Frank go, you know? Pastor Frank, he brings everybody donuts when he loves them. Okay? So you know how much he loves you, whether how many donuts he brings you every single week. It's not true. He brings all kinds of stuff. If Frank Curry stopped coming to our church, we would all notice in a serious way. But he doesn't matter to you because of what you do for him. He matters to you because of what he does for you. And he doesn't do it to get anything back. He does it because he just loves you. We all need to learn to love like this and not be like, well, I left and nobody knew that I was gone. Don't do that. Matter so much by loving so deeply and being so intimate with people that when you go somewhere, they know it. They feel it. When you're struggling, they know. God knows when you're struggling, but he wants you to be known while you're struggling. And why you're succeeding. All the time we should be running to him, never forgetting that we need God. We need him. All the time we're desperate for this intimate and lasting relationship with the Father. I love how Joshua lingers in this tent. He stays just a little longer. And I think that really communicates the heart of God. That when we're struggling with serious problems, that the solution is intimacy. It's not going to fix the problem, but the solution to survive the problem, to thrive through the problem, is intimacy with your living God. When you're depressed, solution is intimacy. You know that? That might not fix the chemical imbalances or the problems that are going on, the situations. But listen, intimacy will get you through the depression, which are very real and very hard. When you're scared, solution is intimacy. We respond with our fear in love. Trying to survive life, trying to live your life without intimacy is like trying to run a marathon with no fluid in your joints. Ow. Right? Any of y'all lost any disc, like stuff in between your discs, you know, in your spine or in between your joints, and you're trying to move around and you feel like the Tin Man? Right? It's hard to run when you got one of those things going on. Life is a marathon. Love, relationship with God is like this marathon. It's going to go on forever and ever and ever. But right now is when you really need Him to make it through what you're going through right now. And first, our 2 Corinthians 1 says that the God of all comfort will comfort us and comfort, help us to comfort others with the comfort He gave us. And so that comfort comes from intimacy with the Father. And when you possess that, then you have something to give to others. And listen, we all need this very desperately. We need the love of God like we need fluid in our joints. We need the love of God and intimacy in our relationships and with God the Father through all of our pain and struggle every day so badly. Just like a car needs oil, right? You can't drive very far without oil. You can't get very far without oil in your engine. You're not going to run a whole marathon if you got no fluid in your joints. You and I are going to really, really have a lot of hard times in our Christian walk if we don't have intimacy with God and with one another. And that comes from cultivating trust. Got this great song written by Brian and Jen Johnson I want you to hear. And this song is about a worshiper, a Christian's expression to her God, like how much she wants to do in response to what God did for her. And feeling like there's something that God wants her to do. And she has this response of like, God, I just want to do something for you. And isn't there something? But then at the end of the song, there's this exchange of God communicating back to her that, listen, I don't need all that stuff. What I want is just a little bit more of you, a little more time with you. Can we play that song? I just want you to listen. We have the lyrics here for you to read. Allow God just to minister to your heart. Where are you at with the Lord?
What can I do for you? What can I bring to you? What kind of song would you like me to sing? 'Cause I'll dance a dance for you. Pour out my love to you. What can I do for you, beautiful King? I can't thank you enough, 'cause I can't thank you enough. What can I do for you? What can I bring to you? What kind of song would you like me to sing? 'Cause all is a dance for you. Pour out my love to you. What can I do for you, King? Oh, 'cause I can't thank you enough. Oh, 'cause I can't thank you enough. What can I do for you? What can I bring to you? What kind of song would you like me to sing? 'Cause we'll dance a dance for you. Pour out my love to you. King, oh, 'cause I can't thank you enough. 'Cause I can't thank you enough. All of the words that I find. simply be with me and let those things go. Cause they can wait. I love a man, let it wait. This moment is too sweet. Would you please stay here with me?
Everything so that you could know it, so you could be in love with him. But you and I, we need to be like Joshua in the sense that we take the time to recognize our relationship with the living God, cultivate our relationship with Abba Father, to just love on him and let him love on us just a little bit longer. Not to prove something to him, not to earn something from him, but just because that's what he wants. Just you, a little bit longer. In fact, forever and ever and ever is what he really wants. He's a jealous God. He's a God that's a fortified city that can't be overtaken. He's a God with an unshakable, unstoppable love that pursues his love, pursues his bride, you. Relentlessly, never giving up. Will you allow the Lord, the God of the universe, to love you like that? Will you let him in? Will you just open your heart to let him in there so he can love you the way that he designed you for? No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, the Bible says that no one is too far away from knowing God. He's right there standing at the door of your heart knocking, and if you will open the door, he'll come in and he'll be with you. And all you have to do is choose him. I know many of you in this place, you're believers already. You're like, you know what? I know I need a breakthrough in my intimacy with God. Yeah, there's a lot of us in here. We need a breakthrough in our intimacy with God. You and I know there's more that God made us for. And I'm going to give you a second to respond. But first, if there's anybody in here that you have not come into this relationship with Jesus, you've not chosen Jesus as your Lord, chosen Jesus as your Savior, asked him to forgive you for your sins that have separated you from the Father, and made Jesus the Lord of your life, the commander of your life, the lover of your soul, I'd like to encourage you today to choose Jesus. We could, if everybody could just bow your heads and close your eyes. And when I count to three, I just want to encourage you, if that's you in this place, one, I want you to respond and raise your hand and say, Jesus, I want to choose you. I want this intimate relationship with you, two. God, I know that you are really real and you're pursuing my heart right now. And I want to respond to that. I want to be bold. I don't want to hesitate. I want to just respond. Three, if that's you here, you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm asking you to raise your hand. Be bold. Jesus, I choose you. Jesus, I want this intimate relationship with you. anybody else. I'm tired of waiting. My time is now. I don't want to wait for tomorrow or something to happen. My time is now. Anybody else? Jesus, I want to choose you. I want a relationship with you. Lift your hand. Amen. We all stand with me, church. If you raised your hand or you wanted to raise your hand and you didn't quite do it yet, I'm going to ask you right now to do one more thing. If you would meet me down in the front right here so we can pray with you, that would be awesome. Anybody here, you raised your hand, you want to get to know Jesus, or maybe you didn't raise your hand and you want to, please come down right now and I'd love to pray with you. Anybody here, is that you? Awesome. Encourage you to come. You raised your hand, you want to come down in the front and let's pray. Can I have the care leaders come? Elders in our church to come here and we're going to pray. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Jesus, I want to choose you. I want to make you the Lord of my life. Let's pray. If you're in your seat and you want to choose Jesus, just pray with me. Church, we pray. And if you want to pray out loud with me, Lord Jesus, it's okay. Lord Jesus, today I choose you. You are my God, and you are my Savior. I give my whole heart over to you. I receive the forgiveness of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let me live a life of intimacy with you. In Jesus' name. Those of you here, you're like, I need a breakthrough in intimacy with God, and my time is now. I've been waiting too long, and today is the day that I want a breakthrough with intimacy with God. Are you here? Anybody here? You want a breakthrough in intimacy with God? Will you raise your hand? Amen. Thank you for being brave. Anybody else? Amen. Good. Come on, church. Be brave. Yeah, good. Look, intimacy is what we're made for. If you could raise your hand and just keep it up. And church, if we could gather around those folks that are pursuing God for an intimate relationship. We're a family. We're a family church. Will you lay hands on them? Once people are laying hands on you, keep your hand up, then you can put your hand down, right? But let's make sure we got hands on everybody that wanting a breakthrough in church. Let's really intercede. Let's be a family right now. And just believe God for a breakthrough in intimacy and trust with God. Father, we just pray right now that you will pour out your love in great measure. God, you will pour out your love and manifest your love on these people. God, we're praying for whatever barriers have been holding them back, whatever things they've been tying off their life to trust to, God, that they'll be broken in the name of Jesus. And we're declaring life and intimacy and love to just be poured out on them now in the name of Jesus. Father God, walk into their hearts with your love with tremendous power right now, God. All we need is you. All we need is you. And God, I'm praying for a great outpouring of your love in their life. I'm asking for fresh revelation to just expand in their life, God. Help them just have new encounters with you every day. I pray that their schedules will open up for more time of rest in your presence, of lingering in your presence and staying a little longer. Just to be in love with you. I'm praying for just a breakthrough in people's mindsets, thinking that God, you don't want to be with them, that you want them to do something for you. God, I pray that you will just break that mindset and help us to just pursue you for that love relationship. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just pray over you as we go. Father, I speak blessing over your people that they will walk in love. They'll walk in power. They'll walk in faith, God. They'll walk in intimacy and trust with you, God. Expand our trust in you. Expand our effectiveness in you because we know you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you, church. I love you. Family picnic today. Let's love on each other, right? Let's build intimacy with one another. Family picnic, you can get up there whenever you want. Stuff is already being set up. As soon as you can get up there, go for it. And bring your rain gear maybe if you want. Bring your baseball mitts and gloves because we'll be playing some softball afterwards too. So enjoy Alaska summer, right? Enjoy one another.